Good morning. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 4. Then he made a bronze altar, 20 cubits in length and 20 cubits in width and 10 cubits in height. He also made the cast metal sea, 10 cubits from brim to brim, circular in form, and its height was 5 cubits and its circumference 30 cubits. Now figures like oxen were under it, all around it, 10 cubits, entirely encircling the sea. The oxen were in two rows, cast in one piece. It stood on 12 oxen, 3 facing the north, 3 facing west, 3 facing south, 3 facing east, and the sea was set on top of them and all their hindquarters. Turned inwards. And it was a handbreadth thick, and its brim was made like the brim of a cup. Like a lily blossom, it could hold 3,000 baths. He also made 10 basins in which to wash, and he set 5 on the right side and 5 on the left to rinse things for the burnt offering, but the sea was for the priest to wash in. Then he made the 10 golden lampstands in the way prescribed for them, and he set them in the temple, 5 on the right, 5 on the right side, 5 on the left. He also made 10 tables and placed them in the temple, 5 on the right side, 5 on the left, and he made 100 golden bowls. Then he made the court of the priests and the great court and doors for the court and overlaid their doors with bronze. And he set the sea on the right side of the house toward the southeast. Hiram also made the pails, the shovels, the bowls. So Hiram finished doing the work which he performed for King Solomon in the house of God. The two pillars, the bowls, and the two capitals on top of the pillars, and the two networks to cover the two bowls of the capitals which are on top of the pillars. And the 400 pomegranates for the two networks, 2 rows of pomegranates for each network to cover the 2 bowls of the capitals which were in the pillars. He also made the stands, and he made the basins on the stands, and the one sea with the 12 oxen under it, and the pails, the shovels, the forks, and all utensils Hiram Abi made for polished bronze for King Solomon for the house of the Lord. And on the plain of the Jordan, the king cast them in the clay between Succoth and Zereda. Thus Solomon made all these utensils in great quantities, for the weight of the bronze could not be found out. Solomon also made all the things that were in the house of God, even the golden altar, the tables, the bread of the presence on them, the lampstands with their lamps of pure gold to burn in front of the inner sanctuary in the way prescribed, the flowers, the lamps, and the tongs of gold, of purest gold, and snuffers, the bowls, the spoons, and the fire pans of pure gold, and the entrance of the house, its inner doors for the Holy of Holies and the doors for the house, that is, of the nave of gold. Okay. So now we get into the intricacies of the furnishings that were going on in the temple. And the biggest of them all was this bronze altar. And remember, this bronze altar was the reason why this place was chosen for Mount Moriah, because there was a bronze brazen altar there before that David would have used. And so this becomes a centerpiece. And this is the whole idea of ritual cleansing. Now, I mean, you'd be pretty amazed to know how humongous this altar was. Particularly for the baths and these things that happen. Solid bronze. Some scholars say it was 3 inches thick. Can you imagine? If you look at the size and weight, they estimate this to be over 200 tons. A couple of bronze pieces. And the one was for the washing of the priests, and the other bronze altars on the side, the basins, I should say, were there for the washing of the sacrifices of the animals. And I'm pretty amazing. This is, a pretty incredible feat of furniture making during this time. And of course, it took the greatest craftsmen to build something like this. It says here in verse 5 that it could hold 3,000 baths. And so you get an idea of the enormity of something like this. I know in the King's Passage, it said 2,000 baths. And so that there's some little discrepancy, but Ezra seemed to have the right number here. And then the 10 basins, 5 on the right, 5 on the left, and all these things that are laid out there. And this goes to the idea of ritual cleansing, that priests, when they came in, not obviously, it wasn't just about cleaning the outside, but they had to make sure that they're also clean on the inside. And I think that's a pretty good way for us to approach the throne of God. So now we you know, the temple veil is torn. There's no longer any division between God and man, because Christ reconciled us to the Father. And so we now have access to the throne room. Hebrews 4 tells us that we can run to the throne room of grace. And so when we are in need of mercy and we're in a time that we need that. And so, but it's interesting how in the modern church, we've become maybe a little too familiar with God. We've maybe taken God for granted a little bit, and we just kind of show up. I mean, on one side, that's good. You know what I mean? That we, the veil is torn, there's no more separation, and we can, as sons and daughters, enter into the throne room of the Lord in the Spirit. And I mean, that part is, I mean, it's good. It's theologically correct, all these aspects. But yet at the same time, too, there should be some reverence and some respect when we do enter into this place. And primarily, I think one of the ways that we do respect and reverence God is the issue of holiness. That when we come in to the Lord, that we come in with an awareness of our sins. Not that you have to be perfect, but remember, this idea is, and look at the picture, there's a cleansing that's going on here during that time. And so so the priests come in, and as they're in the presence of the Lord, they are being cleaned. And I think that's a really really good picture of kind of what this looks like. As it's there, something is happening right there. So it's not like we can only be clean to come into the presence of God, which is, I mean, some people have that kind of idea, and that's not very healthy either. But the idea that as we come into the presence of the Lord, because we're aware of God's holiness, we're aware of his goodness, we're aware of his power, and we're in awe of that, and it almost in some ways causes us to be clean. And it causes us to seek after holiness even on our own life. And we see how the temple was construed in such a way that priests went in. Now, think about this. In the temple, particularly the Holy of Holies, the priests, remember, once a year, if they enter into this place and they've done the ritual cleansing, I mean, on the outside, but on the inside, they're not clean, you know what happens? They die. And they would, I mean, this sounds really medieval, but they would stick they would put a piece of rope around the priest with a cowbell. And so if the bell was working, I mean, in other words, they knew the priest was alive and doing things, and he'd go about and doing the sacrifices. But as soon as the cowbell stopped, they knew that the high priest had sinned, and so was struck dead, and they would pull the guy out of the Holy of Holies. And so it's not just about an outside cleansing, but also a cleansing of our heart. An idea of that Paul will pick up is of the circumcision of the heart that happens here. And then, you know, after that, you get all these different different instruments that go in the furnishing of the temple. I mean, there's not really much to say about that, except it was beautiful. And I think it's, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with portraying beautiful things before the Lord. And it's this idea, and I love Solomon's heart of just being able to give God his best. You know, he gives God his first, he gives God his best. And it should speak to us, especially to a culture where in many ways that, I mean, if we're honest, we primarily give God our leftovers and we don't offer our best. I mean, I remember, I know these are true stories, But I find it so difficult to believe it. But I remember I was reading this missions journal years ago, and the writer was making this missionary was making this commentary, and he would say so many times that he would I mean, this is a long time ago, but they would get packages from people in America, missions care packages, and in the care packages it was always junk. It was just junk. It was like kids, you know, old clothing. It was all used up stuff. And this is what I find quite unbelievable, is that people would send them tea bags, but they would send them used tea bags. And so basically people like use the tea, and then they save the tea bags, and they would send those things off to the mission field. And like, I know it happened, but I find it so ridiculous to believe that the people of God actually treated their servants like that. But that happens a lot. We tend to give God and God's servants a lot of times second best. We give them leftovers. I mean, our giving, our tithing, I mean, as part of this equation, we give God our spare. But Solomon, if you laid out, man, he gave God his best. He found the best craftsman, and he honored God with his craftsmanship and with his expertise, and he brought the finest wood from all over the world, particularly from Lebanon. The bronze. I mean, it was just everything. I mean, it doesn't have to be so ornate, and that's not what I'm talking about. But it's the idea of, man, let's give God our first, let's give God our best, and that's something I could really appreciate by Solomon in this place. So let's close our eyes. Talked about a couple of different things this morning. Number one, I mean, are we giving God our best? Are we merely giving God our leftovers? If I use that illustration, are we giving God our used tea bags? Our spare ones, the ones that we don't like, you know, the brand we don't like, are we giving God our best? Well, let's meditate on that as we sing together.
As gold and precious.
And let's give God our best. Of course, when it comes to ourselves, let's give God our holiest. Let's cleanse our hearts, cleanse our hands. You know, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who can stand in that holy place? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not sworn deceitfully. It says, they shall receive a blessing from the Lord. As we give God our best, let's give God our purest as well. Well, let's pray this morning. Let's go to our community prayers. Let's pray for our community battling with cancer. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for those going through therapies. And let's pray just for the power of God to flow through their bodies. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our community that are going through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China. Let's ask God to bless this great country. Let's pray for our church in Beijing and starting in Shanghai. Let's lift up the Chung family. Pray for Nate and Matt's parents. Lift up the churches. Let's pray the Holy Spirit would breathe life throughout this country. Let's pray for our leaders and our friends there. Let's pray over our board. Let's ask God to bless our leaders, so really use them. Pray for just a spirit of wisdom and revelation to lead and to guide our church. Let's pray for protection over our families as well. Pray over our fellowship ministries, our young adults, Yaman, Yahweh Eats, Single Life Workshop. We're having a refresh on September 1. Let's pray for our men's ministry, our women's ministries, particularly the retreats that are coming up and the prayer meetings that are going on. Let's just ask God to just really use these ministries just to connect people to one another and obviously to the Lord. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for our new building, resources for that. Pray for a benefactor. Let's continue to ask God to continue to bless the Vision Fund and to be more giving in, and the resources would multiply. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you again for the reminder, God, to be pure, to be holy, Lord, to cleanse ourselves, God, inside and out as we step into your presence, Lord. And as we step into your presence, God, that we would offer you and give you our best. Lord, thank you, God. Lord, would you continue to watch over us? And Lord, just give us a tremendous amount of joy, God, as we serve and walk with you. We thank you. We love you, God. Watch over us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.